regularly scheduled May 21st, 2013 board meeting. We have an interesting agenda and an agenda that comes up once a year that's always kind of a mixture of joy, melancholy, and jealousy. So I'll let you figure out which one's going on where. But we're very happy to see you all here, and we're looking forward to honoring our retirees. And we will report our, we'll report out our open our closed session items. Thank you, Jim. We met and discussed the superintendent's performance evaluation. No action was taken at this time. We had a conference with labor negotiators of unrepresented employees, and instructions were given to the negotiating team. We also discussed one matter of anticipated litigation and gave direction. And we had one matter, 2.04, involving take a motion on that.
I'll move approval of the May 7th.
I'll second.
Motion by Mr. Unger, approval, or second by Mrs. Sheffer. Any discussion, corrections? Seeing none, all in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. And we have no student representatives here tonight. We always appreciate it when they are here. So we will move on to item, am I right on this, Jim? 5.02? All right, Ryan.
Hey.
That was fast.
Yeah, that was quick. Great.
Yeah.
Well, listen, it was interesting. I heard my...
I'm kind of loud, so you can't tell. This is my second year at San Luis Coastal. Last year we had the early retirement incentive, 39. You know, people had to say ahead of time kind of whether they were going to retire or not. And so it's been kind of an interesting dynamic this year, I would say, in terms of looking at retirees and meeting with people. And so we have an outstanding group of educators, and both on the classified as well as certificated side, that are here tonight. Retirement is a different thing for different people. So we have people, and I'm very, very thankful that we did have some of our retirees show up tonight so that we can honor them for their service to our district, to our students. But there's others in the group that they really shy away from any type of accolades, any type of public notice. And so it's, again, thank you for being here tonight. So without further ado, if I can have the board members come forward. So when you wouldn't think last year with 39 retirees that we necessarily wouldn't have as many retirees this year, but this group of educators, and again, both classified as well as certificated, coming forward tonight and that are here on the board agenda, represent 453 years of service to students in the San Luis Coastal Unified School District. 453 years of service. And again, it's an interesting dynamic, you know, as you go through, and as I've got to know some of the people on the list, it's been great to, even just in my short tenure here, to get to know them. So the first person I'm going to have come up is Mr. David Buckmoyer. 30 years, San Luis Coastal, and from San Luis High School. Yep, and I'm going to have everyone just come up, all the retirees stay up. Stay up here once you get up here. And so the district media center librarian, Sharon Hopp, actually was worked with the teachers and purchased a book in their honor that will be at the site of their selection. And so Mr. Buckmoyer chose Life Strategies for Teens by McGraw. And so the next one is Holly Naylor. She can come forward, science teacher, Laguna Middle School. 26 years in San Luis Coastal.
That's right.
Yes, okay. And Holly's selection was Flashpoint by Sneed Collard. Tim Olson, a.k.a. Brian, come on up. 35 years, San Luis Coastal. Here you go. Here you go, Tim. Tim's book was BFG by Ronald Dahl. Next up, we have Catherine Pearson. Catherine's a paraeducator, currently at LAMS. We had a beautiful paraeducator celebration the other day. 20 years of service, San Luis Coastal. And her book was People Who Said No, Courage Against Depression. Next up is Elaine Rosenfield. <laughs> 35 years, San Luis Coastal. Thank you. Teacher at Bishop's Peak. And her book was The Dark by Limity Snicket. Perfect. So next up is Mary Spidell. Librarian. Thank you, Mary. So Mary, 26 years, San Luis Coastal. And her book was Code of Silence by Tim Shoemaker.
You taught me to fly.
All right, so let's have you guys get together. I want to take a quick picture. I think the other part in terms of education and retirement, and for us, it's almost a thank you, I would say, to your families for sharing, right, you with us over all the years that you've had service here. And being an educator is a lot more than just the school day. It's summers, it's nights, it's weekends, it's all those things that go into it. So, again, thank you to everybody for supporting all of our retirees. All right, a little bit tighter, a little tighter. Okay, ready? One more. So great. All right, thank you.
To public comment, this is part of the agenda where we invite anyone who wants to speak to the board about a matter that is not on the agenda. Hi, Dave. Happy trails. Is there anyone who would like to address the board on an item that's not on the agenda this evening? Okay, seeing no one, we'll bring it back to the board and move on to item 8.01, state budget may revise. Mr. Miller is attending his son's graduation in the Army?
Yes, in Georgia.
In Georgia, and is unable to be here tonight. And go ahead, Eric. Thanks.
Well, I would like to thank Julie Lang, our Director of Finance. She gave me about 45 minutes of her day today to review the latest and the greatest on the May revision. And so I'd like to update the board on the status of the state budget as we know it now. I'd like to break it into three parts, and Julie will provide the whistling. The good, the bad, and the uncertain. The good, nice. The good is that there really aren't too many surprises for us. What we anticipated would happen fairly well did happen. In the May revision, revenues are up $2.9 billion. That's the good news. There looks as though there's a $200 per child, what they call EPA, the Education Protection Act. In our case, that's a seven-year commitment annually of $1.4 million. Additionally, it looks as though, and I'm extremely happy about this, the governor has demonstrated commitment to the Common Core state standards. And in that, he has committed $170 per child in our district. That's approximately $1.2 million. How that's delivered, we're not sure. But it looks as though it's one-time money and possibly delivered to us over a two-year period. As with everything in education, it just is, even though it's great and we're not sour in any way about it, it's just such a big undertaking, the state Common Core or the national Common Core standards. The $170 in one-time money will barely scratch the surface of how to support our transition to that in both professional training, materials, and equipment. But we are happy for that amount. In addition, it looks as though in the governor's May revision, there's a special education commitment to offset the federal sequestration. It looks as though it's a $60 million statewide commitment. So, in other words, it looks at this point to be a break-even. So what's nice about it is we aren't going to see the 8.5% reduction we thought we were going to see. And another piece of good news is that under adult education, it looks as though commitments within the underneath the umbrella of adult ed, it looks as though the governor is going to give us a transition period to move towards some kind of consortium between K-12 and junior college, community college, to create some sort of consortium. During that time, there's a maintenance of effort commitment, especially as it relates to English learners, citizenship, GED, high school graduation requirements, and workplace education. Many of those things we already have in place. We're excited about that. We have maintained our adult education program. Those scaled way back. So that's good news. The bad is that the governor has created his revenue projections for 2013-14 And in his projections, despite an increase in the economy, what appears to be a booming stock market, increase in real estate, his projection is that it will decrease in revenue in 13-14 by about $1 billion, which then changes the formula as to how we will receive revenue in education. So that is still yet to be determined. The LAO's office has a different opinion and believes that Legislative Analyst Office, thank you, has a different opinion, and their projections are much higher in terms of revenue than the governor's providing. And also some bad news on that is that the governor, the increase in the revenues in the current year of $2.9 billion, a good chunk of that dollar amount will go to pay down the deferrals, which doesn't help us as a community-funded school district. And additional and final piece that we consider perhaps bad is that what was touted as a great component of the local control funding formula, that just as the name implies, that districts at the local level, boards, would have the ability to determine the LCFF, or the local control funding formula, has a maintenance of effort component to it, which means that if you're spending certain dollars in certain ways in prior years, there will be an expectation that you continue to do that. The good news is we are in doing those things very, very well, I believe, and in alignment with best practices. So I don't believe that's going to impact us in a negative way. Categorical funding, in our case, being a community-funded school district and knowing that the state has taken half of our categorical pot anyway, it appears that for us, we aren't sure what it will look like in terms of categorical dollars in our future, in terms of restricted dollars and non-restricted dollars, flexibility dollars. In terms of transportation funding, it appears that the governor has made the May revision an add-on to the transportation funding. How that impacts us, we're not getting transportation dollars anyway, so we're not sure how that's going to impact us. The other piece is the EIA funds. That's the Economic Impact Aid Funds. I've been using acronyms too long. And that funding is typically devoted to our English learners and specifically to students with second language learning students. The question is, will that remain restricted or will it become unrestricted or flexible? That's a big piece for us, as we have a number of our programs supported by the EIA program. And then finally, we don't know how the adult education program or funding model will impact community-funded school districts. So those are the things that the good, the bad, and the uncertain that I see in the May revise. And all in all, I believe it could have been much worse for us. We have some monies coming our way. I wish there was more. But at this point, I believe we're in alignment with our expectations.
Thank you, Ellen.
So it sounds like we can't really determine what impact all of this will have on what we have been looking at for next year in terms of cuts. Is that correct?
Our reductions that we made were specific to our projected revenue against our expenditures. And we anticipated the $200 per child enhancement, so the $1.4 million in the budget reduction process. So we have provided and we have acted upon the best information we had available, and we believe, based on what we're seeing, that we did the right thing. Okay. Is that your question?
Kind of. So, but none of this, it sounds like we can't, at this point at least, really rely on any big, I mean, Russell was able to look into his crystal ball and was pretty accurate on how all this was going to come down with the May revision. So there are no big changes one way or the other. It sounds like there is some uncertainty still.
There's uncertainty until the budget's adopted and we know exactly what our revenues will be from the state. However, at this point, I believe we're in a really good position, given what I see, unless there's some sneaky backdoor attempt by the legislature to pull away from the governor's recommendation. I think we're on target to maintain our approach. I think Mr. Miller did a fantastic job of accurately defining the target reduction, and we did that. And I think we're in a really good spot going into the summer. It appears that our local revenues are up, and that's a good thing always. Mm-hmm. And we don't see anything detrimental on the horizon with respect to local revenue. And so at this point, I'm feeling, obviously, it was a tough spring, a tough budget reduction process, but I believe the actions that the board took were fiscally prudent. The May revision by the governor supported our actions.
Yeah, I was concerned there would be the good, the bad, and the big surprises. So.
Yeah, no, not that
glad
I can
see.
Glad
there wasn't that.
Any other questions?
Just actually more of a comment, but the LAO is more optimistic about 13-14 revenues, and so does that give you the impression that maybe the governor they think he's being too conservative, and he's being conservative because he can't be conservative?
I can't remember, Chris. Okay. Sorry about that. I had to remind myself. Thank you, Dr. Prater, for that update, and we'll move on to item 8.02, which is the technology pilot program.
Thanks. I'll go ahead and stay here since I think the show will be in front of us. Over the past couple years, there's certainly a lot of a lot of buzz about the use of mobile devices, iPads, iPods, Androids, tablets, netbooks in schools. And we want to be careful that what we do is not just merely buy expensive tools without planning and quality teaching behind their use in the classroom. This last year, we allowed schools to kind of pilot some programs using tablets or iPads or devices under our Initiative 8, the Classroom of the Future. We had some very specific criteria that we established in terms of setting specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely goals, having pre- and post-assessments, being able to translate the types of things that are happening into other classrooms and other settings as appropriate. And we had 5 schools that actually did some pilot programs this year, Baywood, Del Mar, Los Ranchos, Los Osos Middle School, and Morro Bay High School. And principals used their own site discretionary funds. We didn't use any general fund dollars to support these pilots, and they also paid for the access points to connect these devices to the networks. But our instructional or our information services and technology department did provide a great deal of support. We ended up purchasing about 185 mobile devices for use in our schools as a pilot, and obviously they will continue to be used. Tonight we wanted to give the opportunity for a couple of our schools to kind of highlight their journey, what they've done, what they've learned. And so with that, I think I'd like to introduce first of all the principal from Laguna Middle School, Diane Frost, to kind of share their program.
I am Diane Frost. I'm the principal of Laguna Middle School. The Laguna Middle School staff has spent much time researching opportunities to infuse technology in our classrooms. As you know, we've created and implemented a video production course for our 7th graders. You'll see laptop carts used often in our science classrooms, a laptop cart used daily in our reading classes, and smart boards in several classrooms as well. In addition to these tools, we began looking for something that might increase student engagement and increase teacher mobility. We started our research with Mobies, but quickly moved our efforts to the iPad. Last year, we worked cooperatively with ISNT and Instructional Services to pilot a few iPads on our campus. We started with our math teachers and then expanded just a little bit from there. While different teachers implement this new technology at different levels, Jana Mooney, a teacher on our campus, has spent countless hours researching and implementing the iPad in her classroom with an ever-increasing level of mastery. Jana has a very eclectic schedule at Laguna. She has one pre-algebra class, two course one algebra classes, and a Math Connects class, where she works with some of our students who struggle the most with math concepts. I've asked Jana to give you an idea of how she uses this tool to enhance her instruction and the learning of the students in her classroom.
Hi. I just want to talk about how I use the iPad in the classroom a little bit. For me, the iPad is by far the best classroom management tool I have ever encountered. I love it because I can move around the room and create proximity with my students, or I can simply sit in the back of the room and teach, which means I can watch everything that they're doing. I believe effective teachers know what is happening in the classroom at all times, especially that middle school classroom, and this tool enables me to watch the students as they take notes, make sure they are on task. I demonstrate their work. I use real-life examples to relate math to other subjects, but the best part for me is that I know my students are engaged when I'm using the iPad. This is a tool they know. It is something they can relate to and they understand. They teach me how to use some of the functions, which is terrific for them because it makes them feel so good that they taught me something. I teach students who typically struggle with math, as Diane told you, and I really work to build their self-efficacy. This iPad gives them this buy-in, and it definitely helps me engage my classes. I use the iPad for many purposes in my classroom, from using it as a presentation tool with Doceri, which I'm going to show you in just a moment, using app games related to math as rewards for some students, annotating over existing documents such as our textbook, other internet resources, and PowerPoint presentations. I use camera abilities to show student work without the students ever leaving their seats. We search the web for applicable related research regarding any topic we're discussing. For example, last week I was doing some statistical data research on tornadoes, and I had the students working on collecting and analyzing data related to tornado facts, and I was able to begin the activity with a short clip from National Geographic on tornadoes and work through the various problems using Doceri and move back and forth while moving around the classroom at the same time, and this is in thanks to the Apple TV and our Wi-Fi. So this is the beauty of lines, as you can see, and I can use a lot of different colors, which the kids really are receptive to. I can point out the solution very clearly. This is a really great thing for me. Instead of me saying, now open your textbook, I can take a picture of the textbook through just snapshotting right out of here and going it back into Safari, and there's the textbook. So it's really nice how quick I can just bounce back and forth and then get right back into the lesson. I can give them an example to do, give them a couple reminders. Here's the first line, here's the second line, here's your solution. Here's your checks. I can also, one of the questions I get asked quite a bit as a math teacher is, when are we ever going to use this? So I can immediately go on the web and pull up real life examples. Here's how you're going to use this. This was an example I found about comparing children's ages, but of course we can use examples of comparing chemical solutions in science, prices in, you know, in business offerings and things like that. And then if I wanted to also, I could also bounce back out and go into maybe Khan Academy and show them a video on how to do it through somebody else. So there are so many things that I can use this iPad for. This is just a short sampling for you.
When you say you can monitor what the students are doing, is it visually, or can you look on your device and see what they're doing on their device?
It's by me moving around the room. And so they don't have devices in their hands yet. I'm the only one that has the device.
And you're projecting it and using the device.
Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, rather than me stuck at a dock camera and stuck right here or having my back to the kids, and I don't know what Holly's doing back there behind me because she's retiring in 2 weeks, so you never know. And so I can go over and actually sit with her and still teach the lesson, and I can see kids. And it's quite interesting because kids tend to go on autopilot and they forget that you're watching, and I can be, hey, Johnny, you need to make sure you write that down, or I don't think you wrote that correct. And it's just a great way for me to develop that classroom management.
Thank you. That's
exciting.
Thank you. Anybody else?
We do have a short video where you'll see her walking around the classroom.
So here we go. Would you like it in English or in Spanish?
Thank you.
Okay, my friends, here we go. So let's start with number 4, please. What I'm going to do is I'm going to snapshot this so I can work on these with you. Can you guys read that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. N squared minus 8. What I'm going to do really quick, I know you're writing, is I'm going to bounce back to Doceri just super fast so I can get this up on my screen for you. You can see. Can you see it okay? This way I can write on it with you. All right, picture somebody else's work so that we can see the difference. And again, may I use your work here?
Yeah, thank you.
Always ask permission. Okay, so let's get this squeezed in so that it's next to number 7. So I know I'm kind of cutting off some of her work, but I at least want to see the answer, which she so nicely boxed for us. And I'm going to take this and just put a little circle around it with a little orange so that we can see it for sure. So Ashley says her answer is 3x squared minus 4x minus 2. And I'm looking, it says 17x squared is going to be minus 14x squared. That looks like a 3x squared to me. I see maybe you guys are going to have to help them a little bit in the background.
Just so you can see, this is a little app we have called Math vs. Zombies, and this is the last 30 seconds of class, and if you were to, you could hear the bell ringing, and this is a really great reward for some of our students who do well throughout the period, and we do these games every once in a while for the last 30 seconds or so of class. So that's Math vs. Zombies.
And I'm telling you, what Jana finds is the kids don't leave their seats. That bell rings, and she's got this up. They're doing whatever math is up there. They're competing against each other. It's really something to see. We've expanded our pilot slightly, asking a social studies and science teacher to implement the tool as well. Pilots are just that, an opportunity to try something new, collect data on effectiveness, and make decisions regarding expansions. For us, Jana has proved that with time and effort, this tool can be tremendously effective. Jana attended the Q conference this year with a focus on sessions designed to help educators infuse iPads in the classroom. Next year, she'll be a lead in our efforts to expand the use of the iPad as a teaching tool at Laguna. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Diane.
I have a question. Oh, thank you. Just a quick question. So can you tell us what the pros and cons would be of each student having their own iPad in their hands?
I've done some thinking about that. The pros are is that they have technology in their hands, and they can have access to all of these great tools back and forth. Some of the cons for me are some of the classroom management issues that come into it again. Now if I have every student with a tool in their hand, I can lose them a little bit and have to watch. We would have to do a lot more blocking. Some of these kids can navigate their way around some of our blocked sites. So I just have to make sure. I would need to do a little bit more research on that. So for me, what I've done is really focused on using the iPad as a curriculum and has control of the apps and content that they push out or pull back for students to have access to. Our initial pilot outcomes were really the broad goals of increasing student achievement in language arts and math, as well as increasing student engagement. And Mrs. Camo just handed out to you a results of a SurveyMonkey that we just sent out to her students on their tablets, and they responded to. And a couple questions there have to do with engagement, and you can see that they're responding that's kind of through the roof for them, that there's been a huge impact on their engagement. But the truth is, I shouldn't be talking to you about this because Mrs. Camo has been at the helm of this, and so I'm going to turn it over to her.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for inviting us here to speak tonight. I am so excited about one-to-one technology in the classroom. I could speak for an hour on it, but instead, I have a video for you to watch so that you can see what our kids are doing in class, and then I have three of my technology pioneers here who would like to make a brief statement about what they enjoy most about the tablets. And, you know, if I think about it, what is the best part of it? There's so many things. The one thing I really do like is the ability to differentiate instruction, and that's a fabulous aspect. And as Janice already mentioned, the ability to walk around the room, because my Kuno tablet does have an interactive whiteboard on it, and so just as she teaches, I can move around and teach, and I got a great idea. The photo idea from her, I didn't know that, so we learned from each other, and it's wonderful. So you can watch the video. Thank you.
I like having my Kindle on my desk because there's always something to do. I can read e-books. I can type on it. I can practice math. And I could work on my report. I like the Kindle Search Classroom because it makes it fun to learn and easier. And sometimes we get to teach physics to know how to do some stuff on the Kindle that we find out. Go to Quick Style, and it has a whole bunch of colors, and like say you pick green and all pink. Every day I come in and do my own, and there's either a subtraction or an addition problem, and then I do it on my whiteboard. Taught us a lesson of per minute, and now we're doing it on our Kunos, and it's really fun.
Oh, look at your choices.
This?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Usually, the more notes, the better choice. Yeah. Why is it that, though? What do you notice? Are the degrees the same? Are any of the degrees the same measurement? So that means it's a good job. Awesome.
So really the fun part of all of this is having them teach me, because I really didn't know how to do most of the stuff in there. They figured it out. They figured out the whole way to make an Animoto movie. I had no clue. They figured out how to make PowerPoints. I didn't know what to do. So I am going to invite the real pros up to tell you a little bit about the tablet. So they will introduce themselves. Let's get you.
Hello, my name is Caroline. For my biography project, I read a book about John Muir and looked up information about him on my Kuno. I used my tablet to make a PowerPoint presentation about him. I really enjoyed using technology to learn about John Muir. Hi, my name is Bridget, and I love to read. My favorite part of having a tablet is being able to read the e-books. This week, we are testing out the National Geographic Kids e-book library. I love being able to read the Greek mythology e-books. I'm looking forward to having subscriptions for this.
Apparently, we're checking out about getting a subscription for that, so
I think Mrs. Help said it was They love it.
Hi, my name is Ellie. I read the book Aragorn and made a movie book trailer using Animoto. Miss Haupt uploaded all the Animoto book trailers to the Destiny Library catalog. Now all the students in the district can watch the Animotos to help them decide if they want to read the book. Enjoy my Animoto.
We're going to see Ellie's Animoto.
Pretty amazing to see. I think, you know, on this journey in terms of our pilot, we've learned so much, but it feels like we're really just at the very beginning of this journey. I think one of the most powerful things we've done are finding those key apps like the Animoto that allow students to have an inquiry piece as well as to be able to create something and then, like the girl said, publish it to an audience. So they're able to publish these where other students in the district can see them. And they're also publishing book reviews, and they can go in and look at each other's reviews and recommend books to one another. And I heard Mrs. Camo say they're writing restaurant reviews and figuring out how to put them on Yelp. So I think, you know, really connecting the learning to, you know, what the world is our kids are in terms of next steps is where we really want to go with this. Is Mrs. Camo will continue this pilot next year in her class and, you know, just to get more depth and keep doing what we're doing. And then the other piece is we'd love to be able to expand a little bit to provide something for our students who are moving into fourth grade next year. You'll notice if you look at their comments at the back of that survey that every single one of them almost is, I want Kunos next year. And we did a parent survey. We don't have all the results yet, but we have parents saying we want them, we'll help fundraise, what can we do? So we're very excited. Thank you for allowing us to share tonight.
As you know, over the past few weeks, we've been providing you with updates on our transition to the Common Core State Standards. We've shared the new standards in English Language Arts and Mathematics and our Next Generation ELD standards and described some of the major shifts that we're going to be seeing in both teaching and in learning in the coming years. Last Friday, we launched a new district website called Stepping Up to the Common Core. Our goal is to provide a one-stop place to provide the latest information on the Common Core and the new assessment that accompanies it. This is a site that's built for teachers, for staff, for parents, principals, and for board members as well. I've asked Jennifer O'Hagan, who is our elementary ed tech and EL TOSA, to give you a little mini tour of our new website called Stepping Up to the Common Core and show you how to navigate it. So, Jen?
I can talk loud. Whoops. Okay, there we go. Okay, so I did this in WordPress, which is what our school district uses. So basically, it's wordpress.slcusd.org, and then you type in Common Core. So we've got a home tab where we have kind of just given you an overview of Common Core state standards, and that's where we'll keep updating you on items that may or may not be changing. We have an About tab with frequently asked questions and a timeline. And I'm just going to point out a few items that I think you might find interesting. On this timeline, we have a graphic. with our little stepping up, and if you double click on it, you'll see this graphic, and it shows you the different phases of where we're at. The awareness phase and some items here. Currently, we're in the transitional phase of the Common Core implementation, and so you can kind of browse through these things and see what we're doing and where we're at, and then we're moving towards the full implementation phase in the next, in the year 2014-15. Okay, so go back. And then along the top here, we have ELA, math, history, social science, and English language development. And underneath each of these tabs are some different items. We've got standards, and so if you click on there, what we've done, there's so much out there on the web for Common Core. We've really tried to cultivate and find just what will be useful to teachers and parents and you as well. So we've gone through and pulled the standards. And like if you click here, it'll take you straight to the Common Core State Standards, just kind of a little continuum there. Okay, I won't go through every tab. Same thing goes with math, history, social science, and science. And if you click on here, you'll see that in history and social science, within those standards are literacy standards. So grades 6 through 8, there's actual reading standards within the history and social science, as well as writing standards. So we've pulled those out for teachers. And same with science. And then we have the ELD standards. And those have changed from 1999. I put together this little graphic. So you can see from 1999 to 2012 how they've changed, and it's a lot. They're a lot more embedded and purposeful, and there's just a lot more in depth of these standards. So you can review those at your leisure. One thing I wanted to point out on the assessment tab. This is all about the SBAC, the Smarter Balance Assessment Consortium, and we've got a little blurb up here that explains it with links, and this might be something of interest where you can explore the sample items and performance tasks right here. Currently, we're piloting SBAC at Los Ranchos and Hawthorne, and if you click here, you can actually see what the students are doing. Let's see if it pops up. So this is an example of what the students are actually doing as far as their assessment, and we're piloting this right now, so you can actually take the test if you want parts of it. So this is a math question. 5 swimmers compete in a race, and the students actually have to type up their answer, explain how the results of the race would change, and this is a math question. And then they can click next and go on to the next question. These are yes-no questions, and so on. So this might be something of interest to just give you a little more idea of what SBAC looks like. Same with ELA. So you click here, and you have a passage to read. The students are reading passages, and then they type their answers in the space provided. So this might be something of interest to look at later. Okay, and then I wanted to also point out, we have a tab for parents, myths versus facts, as well as parent guides. And these are parents' guides to student success. So if I were to click on 7th grade, as a parent, I could find out. This is from the National PTA. And these are guides that explain about the standards in ELA as well as math per grade level. Okay. And then...
teach it. But I was very impressed with the website.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else?
It took a whole team. It wasn't just me.
I'm not surprised. It's a lot of information.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. You're welcome.
Can I message?
Yes, you may.
I was at a meeting this weekend, and one of the things they talked about was the Common Core Standards. And what was pointed out amongst a group of school board members was how important it would be for communities to understand what Common Core is and what Common Core means, and I'm glad we're moving forward on that. I think that'll be great for everybody.
All right. We'll move on to item 9.01, which is the authorization for year-end transfers. Julie Lang.
Good evening. This is something that we bring to you every year. You're probably familiar with it.
You have the opportunity to approve all the changes and revisions to our budget throughout the year at first interim, second interim, estimated actuals. But there's that period between our estimated actuals and our unaudited actuals where we're closing the books and we need to be making transfers, and you don't have the opportunity to approve those transfers before we can close the books. So this gives us permission to do those transfers.
And is this a roll call?
It's a resolution.
This is a resolution that needs a motion and then a roll call, yes.
Oh, I know. I was Thank you, Mrs. Holmes. Is there anyone in the public who would like to address the board on this item? Thank you, Chris. Seeing no one, we'll bring it back and entertain the motion.
I would move to adopt resolution number 19-12-13.
Okay. We have a motion by Mrs. Sheffer, second by Mr. Unger, to approve resolution number 19-12-13. Any discussion? Roll call vote.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Unger?
Yes.
Dr. Eisenrath Rogers? Mr. Questenberry?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Passes 5-0.
Thank you. We'll move on to item 10.01. Julie, you have this one as well?
I do. This is a required public hearing. In 2008-2009, the governor made a number of the state programs that were restricted, unrestricted, and flexible, and this gives the public an opportunity to weigh in on how the district plans on using those funds. Now that the local control funding formula has passed, I'm not sure that this is even going to matter, because I'm not sure how we're going to get our categorical funds anymore, but they'll be rolled into that. But as you can see, I attached a chart, and you can see all the old restricted resource codes and then the flexible resource codes we've been using, and we're going to start moving some of those resources into the general fund because they're serving general fund purposes.
So this is the public hearing portion of this. So we'll open the public hearing on the utilizing flexibility authorized under SBX 3-4 related to categorical programs. Is there anyone who would like to address the board on this item?
I noticed GATE was on the list. And is there anything with GATE anymore specifically? I mean, does anything happen? I noticed there was like $250,000, but.
Go ahead.
Yes, so GATE is part of the flexibility dollars that we they've taken from us. So we still maintain programs in our district, depending on, you know, which grade level you're in or where you attend school. So is that your question?
So you don't identify GATE students any longer, or
no
so you don't get the money, and there's not a GATE master plan? Or
well, we don't get the money, and our student initiatives are focused on providing support for accelerated learners within the normal class and a site basis. That would be my response to that.
Yeah, GATE for many years has been underfunded or not funded at all. And so in our district, we've identified the initiatives that hopefully will be able to infuse accelerated learning opportunities across all grade levels in all of our schools. That's the objective. So we're well on our way, and that's what you heard earlier with the Common Core.
Yeah.
Is the effort by 46 out of 50 states in our nation that have identified that as an important value. So part of where the whole curriculum is going throughout the nation, barring four states at this point, is to embed rigor or accelerated learning opportunities in a different way than the traditional GATE methodology. So.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you for your question. It's so unusual to have someone speak at a public hearing, but we appreciate it.
This tonight, to get it out of the way,
okay.
Rather than bringing this back to you again.
All right. Then I'm, if my colleagues are happy to act on this tonight.
If I can make my iPad work quickly enough to get to the
right. When all else fails, fall back on the paper. Yeah.
So
the number, your resolution number.
It's not a resolution. It's just
and I'm going to second it.
Oh, okay. We're looking for approval of item number 11.01.
And I'll second that. Any further discussion? Any motion? That's right. That was the other item.
That was the public.
Anybody in the public would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing no one, we'll bring it back. We have a motion by Mrs. Eisendrath Rogers and a second by the chair. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Passes 5-0. And we'll move to item 11.02, acceptance of the 2013-2014 Personnel Commission budget and a notice of public hearing.
Yeah, so actually tomorrow at the Personnel Commission meeting, they will have a public hearing for the Personnel Commission budget. And so as part of that process, we bring the budget forward to you, to the board, for just as an acceptance item. These are all things that are built into the budget. Really, the only change from the past is maybe salary and benefits that you'll see in terms of the budget that's attached. But we always ask if one of the board, if the board would like to send a representative to that meeting. I believe Mrs. Roger came last year. And so if any of the board members would like to come to our meeting tomorrow, again, it's the Personnel Commission meeting at 4 o'clock, and they'll hold their public hearing on the budget.
Okay. Thank you. So tonight, is there anybody in the public who wants to speak to this item? Okay, seeing no one, we'll bring it back. So tonight, you're just letting us know about the hearing.
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Ryan.
But are you looking for an appointment?
Yeah, if
oh, I see.
We need a designee to attend the meeting.
If you would like somebody to attend.
She didn't want to be on the record.
Yeah, I think I can go, but I can't confirm until tomorrow.
That's okay.
But yeah, I would like to attend.
And Marilyn may be able to go. But
if she can go too, great.
Yeah.
I can call her and let her know.
Okay.
Okay,
right. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
A little bit of arm twisting there, Mrs. Holmes, always helps. We'll move on to 11.03.
And I'm sorry, as a formality, can I have a motion and second on that appointment?
Oh.
Pending your availability and all that stuff.
Oh, we're doing this really the whole formal thing.
I move that Ellen Sheffer and or Marilyn Roger be appointed to represent the school board at the Personnel Commission meeting and public hearing tomorrow, May 22nd.
Second that. So any discussion? Motion by Mr. Unger, second by the chair. All in favor?
Aye.
And thank you, Ellen, for volunteering. I hope it works out. Now we'll move to 11.01. We'll move to 11.02, which is the acceptance of the 23rd. Oh, we already did that one, too. It's so early. That's what's throwing me off. 11.03, proposed revision to Board Policy 4040, Personnel, Employee Responsible Use of Technology.
Okay, and I'll take that one. Mrs. Holmes is getting getting the board policy up, the suggested board policy. This is a first reading, so I'll take any notes, or you can take action, or we can bring it back. We've changed our acceptable use policy, our responsible use policy for students, but we have not updated our employee one for some time, and we'd like to do that before the next school year begins when we have all of our employees sign off on their understandings. This is all kind of boilerplate language recommended by CSBA, but I will point out some of the items that are, you know, of significance. If you go down to the third paragraph, there's kind of a paragraph about, I don't know, maybe for lack of a better term, intellectual property. This just defines what is district property, what is an employee's property if it's created not using district resources, equipment, supplies, facilities. The paragraph below that, number 4, has to do with a broader definition of what constitutes confidential information. We've had a statement in there about employees not sharing confidential information about other employees or students, but we
find with the policy. I'm just wondering. I'm looking at the last paragraph you mentioned, Rick.
Yes.
An employee will not use a cellular phone or mobile communication device for personal business while on duty, except in emergency situations or during scheduled work breaks. Is that including personal cell phones and mobile communications, or is that just for district-owned cell phones or mobile communications?
It is intended to be for personal phones. You know, And obviously, this is subject to interpretation. I mean, I can't imagine somebody saying you're terminated from employment because I saw you using a cell phone while, you know, on noon supervision duty or something. But the idea is that we want people, just as we wouldn't want someone on a landline talking on the phone for personal business while they should be teaching. Where this really has to do with, you know, kind of keeping some separation between the use of telephones while on duty.
Okay. Thank you.
My question is, how will this be communicated to, when we have an update in this for parents and students, we send out in the parent handbook, and how do teachers get this information?
Yeah, all of our personnel policies, employees sign for a series of them at the beginning of the school year. So the first week of school, and our principals kind of highlight changes, but there's a little package of things that have to do with, and this would be one of them. It'd be, you know, various policies, but this would be one that employees would get a hold of before school starts.
Do we ever have parents driving students under any sort of arrangement with the school? And do we instruct them that they are not to be using cell phones or texting while driving our students while they're assisting the district in any way?
Yeah, I mean, all parents that drive students have to have H6 clearance, and they have to have the right insurance and all that. But honestly, I can't say that we have something that we hand parents about texting or cell phone use. So that's probably something we should consider as part of the field trip protocols. Is that we make that known? That's a good point. I can't think of something that's actually on our forms that indicate that. So that's something to pay attention to.
Yeah, I think that would make me more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah,
what
absolutely.
That's worth, but
good input.
Jim? Well, in a similar vein, I'm thinking that we have a lot of walk-on coaches now. That they're not there, the first day of school, going through the changes. So it might be a good idea to include that in a coaching packet, especially with the use of vans. Some information about cell phone use and some other things.
Very good. Very good. Thank you.
And I would add perhaps volunteers, too.
Mm-hmm. See how smart we are when it's still light out? Very good point, all three of you guys.
Is it any of the boys' direction to include any of that in this policy is related to personnel, or are you comfortable with us establishing some regulation or protocols outside of the policy?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So I'm content to act on this evening. Is that the consensus of the board? Okay.
I'll move approval of item 11.3.
Okay. Any further discussion? Motion by Mr. Unger, second by Mrs. Scheffer. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. And we'll move on to the action consent agenda. Let me know if you want an item pulled. 12.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 12.02, approval of secondary school schedules for 2013-2014. 12.03, disposition of property. 12.04, acceptance of donations. 12.05, approval of purchase orders. 12.06, approval of summer field trips. 12.07, approval of international student exchange programs. 12.08, approval of the 2013-14 Carl Perkins Career/Technical Education Funding Application. All right. And I will move approval of 12.01 through 12.07. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. Jim?
Mine's just a question on the Perkins grant. So this, none of this funding goes through the ROP. This is something that we apply for. I think Rita's going to jump up and answer.
Yeah.
It's something we apply for through the district and then comes through our finance department and so forth.
That's correct.
I'll move approval of item 12.
We agreed at the last meeting that your retreat would be July 23rd.
I know it's July 23rd, but I mean, what hours during July 23rd?
That is up to you.
Right, and that's my request, is that as soon as we figure out what part of the day we're going to do it, that I just would need to know so I can know whether to block out a whole day or part of a day or something like that.
Well, and for those of you who have, you know, specific concerns about that, you should let the subcommittee members know as soon as you can. So, and they will work diligently and get back to us. And thank you three for volunteering, if you can refer to it as that.
Those three are Mrs. Schiffer, Dr. Eisengrath Rogers, and Mr. Questenberry. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you all, and we'll move on to the ROP board report.
Can the public suggest anything for advanced agenda?
Yes, that you can, actually.
I can? Yeah. Okay. I was wondering if you could ever have a study session about accelerated learning or gate learning. I remember the report card you gave yourself about the initiatives. That was an area you thought was weak, and I know you're going on your retreat, and I just wondered, and I know you have the TEACH task force too, but I feel like it's a missing piece still. And I know the Common Core, I love the Common Core standards from what I've read. I mean, I think writer's workshop, that just a lot of things are going to be fabulous, but just a suggestion. I don't know if this is the right place again, but just
thank
a suggestion.
You. I guess my initial response is that you can just sit down. We really can't take up the item because it's not agendized, but a lot of the accelerated learning review was done in conjunction with the initiatives, and so I'll leave it to Dr. Prater to perhaps figure out a way to...
Are the initiatives set in stone, or sometimes do you reevaluate them, you know, kind of as you go along?
We do. We have goals, specific goals for each one of the initiatives. They're very ambitious, and we review the outcomes of those. We've already done that twice, I believe. Go ahead, Dr. Prater.
Yeah, you know, you have some really good questions. I'd be more than happy to talk with you.
The
meeting's almost finished, and then I'd be more than happy to spend a little time with you to talk about what how I think all of those questions you have are going to fit into place.
Or is it something the board is ever interested in? I mean, when you decide your study sessions or what your, you know, an issue has, I don't know how that works, but I'm just...
Well, I guess what I would say is part of the task, it's a pretty sizable task force or a committee, mm-hmm. advisory committee, that we're just now getting off the ground, and they're going to be working for the next 5-6 months putting together, really answering or coming forward with some suggestions for our board and for me to wrestle with.
About TEACH and capacity.
It's not about TEACH per se, as much as it's about looking at Initiative 6, which was our lowest grade on the report card, which you saw, and to provide some, quite frankly, some recommendations on how we can strengthen it throughout the district. So we have some really bright people on that committee who are going to provide us with some excellent feedback. And I think the context of your thinking logically falls into place in the October-November time frame. That's when we'll get those recommendations or suggestions from the committee. So I want you to know we're taking that very seriously, but I think having that conversation is going to be most fruitful after a group of 20-some-odd people wrestle with it for several months.
Okay. Sounds great. Thanks.
Thank you for your interest. Appreciate it. And that brings us to reports by board members. Anybody have anything for the common good? Catherine?
I would just like to do a little shout out to the folks who put forth the outreach apparel teen closet at Pacific Beach. Fabulous outcome there. It was Lisa Ray's inspiration, the teen closet. She was referred to as a Lisa Ray of Hope.
Nice.
It was very nice. Yeah, she's really made a huge difference in the lives of so many teens who need help getting, you know, feeling like they fit in with the right kind of clothes, and just a great project. And I just want to also say that Chris Dowler, who, you know, in our student services area, and Melissa Musgrave, she brought in people from Home Depot to decorate it, to create the space, actually, to make it look like a store. And then the folks from Old Navy and I'm forgetting the other store. Kohl's. Came to actually bring the clothes for the kids. And it's just a fabulous space. And Jeff Arguena, you probably saw him in the paper. He was bundling up clothes that had been donated. So it's a fabulous effort.
Testing what teachers are teaching anymore. How do you do that? Well, the state superintendent of public instruction has proposed only doing the federally mandated tests. So that's one option. Other options we've heard are continue to do it, do more local testing that would look at, be able to provide teachers feedback on what the kids are learning. Gee, what a novel concept that would be, huh? And so it's still way up in the air. Smarter balance assessments. It's going to be a big change for people, and it sounds like it's supposed to be a computer adapted test, but part of it next year will be pencil and paper. It's just nobody knows what's going to happen with it. Big issues. LCFF, I will say that the California School Boards Association supports the concept of the LCFF, but what they believe more strongly than just about anything else, well, more strongly than anything else, and related to that, is that that the districts need to be made whole on the money that's been taken away, and to use that some of that money to try to get us back, us and other districts, back to the 2007-08 levels before they really started the slash and burn. And we're not sure if the governor's going to go that way or not. He seems to be pretty well saying, no, I'm not going to do that. And we'll see. So it's all way up in the air.
Jim. Well, I had a distinct opportunity, and it was I was joined by Dan Anders. Dan and I went down to Burbank for the celebration of the Morro Bay High School's Distinguished School Award, and it was presented to us by the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Torkelson, and we were part of a four-county group there, the L.A. County, Ventura, Santa Barbara, and San Luis Obispo counties. We were entertained by the Warren High School Band, which is nearly as good as the Morro Bay High School Band, nearly, very close. Anyway, we had a great luncheon, and it was a great ceremony. It was interesting to see that San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara constituted one table, and Ventura a couple of more, and then L.A., an entire room full. But it was wonderful because all the schools were awarded Distinguished School Awards based on a number of different criteria. But ours was, I believe, for academic excellence, and so I think that's great. Speaks volumes for the hard work that Dan Anderson and his staff do.
Congratulations to C.L. Smith on their 50th anniversary. It was very fun to attend, and it's always like going home when I go to C.L. Smith. Also, I had an opportunity to visit and be shown the wonderful things going on at Hawthorne and Los Ranchos schools, and I really appreciate the principals and staff who took the time to meet with Jim and me and show off their schools and especially to spend time with the kids and see them in action, see what they're working on, talk to them, about what they're doing in the classroom. So it meant a lot to us, and appreciate it.
Thank you. We're just clearing up a little paperwork here. Anybody else ready for any comments? Okay. Thank you very much, and be careful. It's the sun's still shining. And we'll see everyone back on June 11th. Okay. Good night.
We'll be back
on the 28th.